Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. You are plugged into Long Island. This is Joe Rock for Long Island's only classic rock station, 102.3 WBAB, and Long Island's number one hit music station, 106.1 BLI. And my guests this morning from Bikers Against Child Abuse, we have Big D, public relations officer. We have Bam Bam, the treasurer, and Nails, the sergeant at arms. Good morning, everybody. How's it going?
Good morning, Joe.
It's going good.
Thanks a lot. We'd just like to thank the radio station and you especially, Joe, for having us on. Anytime we get the opportunity to get our word out, very much appreciated. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, it's our pleasure. All right, so let's dive right into this. Let me ask you, can you guys explain who and what exactly is Bikers Against Child Abuse? And just to make it easier, because I know everybody knows you guys as BACA, so that's, you know, occasionally once or twice I'll give the full name during the thing, but right. I know it's a lot easier to discuss it like that just so our listeners understand. So who and what is BACA?
Bikers Against Child Abuse is a 501c3 non-for-profit organization, and we can best describe who we are and what we do by our mission statement. Bikers Against Child Abuse exists with the intent to create a safer environment for abused children. We exist as a body of bikers to empower children not to be afraid of the world in which they live. We stand ready to lend support to our wounded friends by involving them with an established united organization. We work in conjunction with local and state officials who are already in place to protect children. We desire to send a clear message to all involved with the abused child, that this child is part of our organization, and that we are prepared to lend our physical and emotional support to them by affiliation and our physical presence. We stand at the ready to shield these children from further abuse. We do not condone the use of physical force in any manner. However, if circumstances arise such that we are the only obstacle preventing a child from further abuse, we stand ready to be that obstacle. And that, in a nutshell, is what Bikers Against Child Abuse is about.
Okay, so now one of the things that I definitely want to get into for the listeners right now is I introduce all of you, and I introduce all of you by your road names. And there's a specific reason for that as we go forward this morning. Can you explain what that is?
We try to stay as anonymous as possible. You know, we have perpetrators that are out there that we have really contributed to putting away where they belong. So we don't need to have any kind of an advertisement as to where we are, where we live, or who we are.
Okay, perfect. Now, BACA, how long have you guys been around? When and how did you guys get started?
So the BACA Nation as it exists today started as a simple idea from the founder of the organization, who was a clinical social worker and was working with a child and decided to see, since he had such a positive experience with bikers and motorcycles, if this would help the child. So we got a few of his friends together, and they just did a test to see if it would help the child, and the child was so empowered that it changed the abused child's life. And that happened in Provo, Utah, and in 1995, that's how BACA was founded. It's just a simple idea.
Okay, so now since 1995, that's how you got started, mm-hmm. and started in Utah. So here we are in Long Island. You guys are definitely a Long Island chapter. How big is the organization?
So we have chapters in 47 states, and internationally we are in 17 countries, and we're growing every day. And what's great about that is that it's wherever there's an abused child that may need us, we're either already there or we're close by.
Now, it's got to take a lot of people to be able to do what you do. So who are your members? Where are you? I mean, are you recruiting members? How do you find them?
Our members come from all walks of life. They can be CEOs, you know, or carpenters. It doesn't make a difference. If you have a love of riding your motorcycle and you have a passion for helping an abused, you know, abused children, it doesn't really make a difference where you come from. As long as you share those ideals and you have the time to give, you can, you know, we're looking for you.
Okay. Now, if somebody's listening right now and they're thinking to themselves, that sounds like me. That description of who your members are sounds like me. What does it take for me? What is entailed in becoming a member?
Well, we have meetings on the second Sunday of every month at the American Legion Hall in Bohemia. And if you want to come down, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. What we do is we have our regular general meeting. And if you want to see a little bit about what we do, you could come down there and see exactly what happens during the meeting. The requirements really are you have to be 18 years or older. You have to have access to a motorcycle. And you just have to have a desire to be able to help the children the same as we do. If that works out, you come in, you actually spend time with us, you get to know us, we get to know you, and you actually become what's called a supporter. Once you become a supporter, if after 3 months you're still hanging out with us and we still like you, we'll take fingerprints of you and we send them off to NCIC, which is a federal fingerprint clearance. And if everything passes, you become a supporter. You actually end up getting assigned a full patch member who then later on will just bring you through training that has evolved over a 23-year period. And the training is intense. It happens over a period of at least 1 year. And if all goes well and your training looks like it's good and you've learned everything you were supposed to learn, then after a minimum of 1 year, you could expect to get a patch. And that's how you become a member.
There you go. So once again, if you're just joining us this morning, my guests are from Bikers Against Child Abuse, BACA. We have Big D, who is the public relations officer, the treasurer of Bam Bam, and Nails, the sergeant in arms. So, you know, who exactly is BACA working with? We're talking about, you know, abused children, but I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot that falls under that umbrella.
BACA has a very narrow, focused mission. It is our job to empower abused children to not be afraid of the world in which they live. Because of this, we do not stray from the mission to work with anyone other than the abused children who are living in fear. Our focus is the child and the child alone, not the parents, cousins, uncles, or grandparents, but the child themselves. BACA believes that there are many organizations who are better provide support for the family or the parents, but there is not any other organization who provides the support and the empowerment to a child like BACA does.
Okay, so my question then becomes this one, because this I'm very curious about. How do you go about identifying children who could benefit from the support of Bikers Against Child Abuse?
So first, a guardian, we need to work with the guardian, legal guardian of the child. Mm-hmm. They would reach out on the hotline, the helpline, and request our services. And there's several levels of intervention that we work through. The first step is that we would have an initial visit with the family. There needs to be a documented case, whether it's with the school or the police or Child Protective Services. There needs to be some founded case that it's a child in an abusive situation. And again, obviously, the legal guardian needs to be involved. Once we have that initial intake, at that point, the information is brought back to the board, and we discuss the case to find out if this is a case that BACA can truly help in. Our main criteria is that the child is living in fear. There are other criteria as well, but that's our main criteria because we're here to empower that child to feel safe in the world in which they live. After the initial visit and the chapter is able to take on the case, it becomes an official case, we do what's called a level one. The child has picked out at this point their own road name. They've picked their cut. They've picked their back patch, their whatever style that they like for their cut. And sometimes for the child, this is the first time that they're having the opportunity to make some choices for themselves. And we do the level one, the whole chapter rides in. And that's when we officially bring the child into the BACA family. And we will present them with their cut. Each child gets two primaries. They'll meet their primaries. And we do a big ceremony. We have a teddy bear that we give them that we all will hug and fill up with love. And we sign the T-shirt that the teddy bear wears. That child has that teddy bear with them at all times so that we're always with them.
And we'll refill that teddy bear anytime the child feels as though it's running low.
Yeah. And they also get a blanket that they can wrap themselves in at night when they're feeling scared.
Okay. Well, one thing I want you to explain in here, because, I mean, I'm riding since I'm 16 years old, so I know exactly what you're talking about. You're talking about a cut, and I know there's some people sitting there at home going, what is that?
True. Cut is the vest that we wear. The BACA child gets their own vest, and they get their own back patch that they've picked out, and they pick out their road name, and then they wear that vest so that it's always with them. So if they feel scared or they feel unsafe, they can call us, they can put their vest on, and they know that we're with them.
Okay, and you also mentioned something earlier about people mm-hmm. could reach out on your helpline, and then you didn't give the helpline.
Ah, good point. The helpline is 631-408-8218.
Okay, and you just say that one more time for the people who just grabbed the pen.
Sure, it's 631-408-8218.
Can they, can you also be found online? Are you on social media and stuff like that?
Where we can be found online. Our website is at bacaworld.org. And we can also be found on Facebook under Baca International.
Okay.
You can do a quick search.
So now you started to talk about things a little bit. You discussed the level one. What happens when you get beyond a level one intervention?
Well, let me go through a little bit more about the level one here, Joe. We have to follow all of the policies and procedures that Baca puts forward for us. And we do this when we take the child into our group. You can imagine 10 or 20 motorcycles showing up on a quiet street where you live. Because when you hear one down the block, it registers. Imagine hearing 10 or 20 of them rolling up on your street.
My neighbors know what that's like.
You got it. Okay. The police are notified ahead of time because, you know, when we roll up, the people are looking out their windows, they're looking out the doors, they're peering, what the hell's going on? We got a biker gang on somebody's front lawn. So the police are always notified as far as where we're going to be and what we're doing. Everything we do with the kids, we have been trained for. What we do is at first we form a semicircle around the child. We don't surround them because we always want them to have an escape route in case they get too excited for what's going on. We introduce ourselves by taking off our shades. We want to make eye contact with the child. And we police one another. If somebody is leaving their shades on, you usually get a punch in the back of the shoulder, take your shades off, and it's usually Bam is the one that's punching people.
Well, yeah, that's true.
And what we do is also, depending on what size they are, we get down to their level, which means we'll either get down on one knee or we'll just bend over while we're talking to them and, you know, just giving, you know, something for them to be comfortable with. The other thing is we do not ever ask them, how are you doing? Because we know how they're doing. Not good. It's always, hey, thanks for having us here. It's a thrill to meet you. Anything positive, but nothing negative. We always offer the fist pump for the kid if they're over exuberant and they want to hug us. We don't go for any full-on hugs. We have a side hug that we will do with the child, but there's no full-on hugs. We discourage that. And that's when the vest or the cut gets presented to the child. Everybody applauds and everybody's smiling, having a good time. Also, there's two primaries that get assigned to each child. The primaries are the first line of communication with the child. And they could be called 24/7, 365 for any reason. Maybe the child is having a good day or a bad day, or they're feeling afraid. They always have those primaries that they could talk to first. And like I said, they're always available. After the teddy bear that we spoke about, we always ask the child, what do you like to do for fun? And if it's throwing around a baseball, a frisbee, or a football, you're going to see a bunch of us running around in our cuts and our boots, playing football, playing with a frisbee. Last summer, I think we had three or four people falling over each other on the ground. We had to pick each other up off the ground because we were running around on our motorcycle boots trying to play football or frisbee. And if it's a girl and she likes to play with Barbie dolls, you will see people that look like me and Nails on the front porch playing with Barbie dolls.
And, you know, if she wants to put makeup on us or do our hair and stuff like that, or she wants to paint our nails, if that's what's going to make her happy, then, you know, Big D's getting his eyes done.
I haven't had my eyes done at least a couple of weeks, so. We'll also let the child take a picture for themselves to leave it on their bureau or for the rest of the kids that are in the family. Because one important thing is, once we take a child into our family, if there's other siblings, we do not leave them out. So if the one abused child gets a cut, we don't know exactly what the other situation was, what the other children, what they saw, what happened to them. So we take the entire family, and no matter how many kids there are. And that's what we do there. The child, like I said, they could take pictures and all the rest of the kids could have their own pictures. We do not record it. We do not take pictures. And if we do for any reason that we, you know, we wanted to send them through a text or whatever the case may be, we make sure we delete it before we even leave there. By the time we leave, the child realizes, and the children out of there, that they have a support system like no other. And we just wish everyone could witness what we refer to as a level one, because you could see firsthand the eyes of the child when they realize these rough-looking people who showed up on these loud machines are here just for me, that we are on their side, that they've actually become one of us, and that's a big deal in the biker community. When you say to someone they are one of us, that's a big deal. Our cuts are sacred to every biker. And this child knows that they're wearing our cut. They are truly one of us, and they could depend on us to be there for them. And that's the way it basically goes. We have a systematic schedule that we call 2, 4, 6, 8, 12, which is the number of weeks that we will visit the child. If they need us more frequently, we're glad to be there more frequently. If they need us less frequently, we try to stick to that schedule. And after that, the child knows that we are still, they are still in our Baca family. So we'll show up anytime they need us still. And the other thing I wanted to make a point of is we have run into all kinds of personalities. We'll run into introverted children and extroverted children. Some kids are clinging on to the guardian when we roll up on them. Other kids can't wait to see us, and they're jumping off the porch, and they can't wait to play with us. But I guarantee you, in all of the kids that we've seen in the last couple of years especially, no matter where they fell in that introvert-extrovert classification, they're all smiling by the end of our meeting with them. They're all smiling when they have their cuts on, and they realize that they have a new group of people that are not going to be intimidated by anybody, and that's the purpose we're there for. We want to remove the fear that these children have.
You know, okay. To add on to that, when we escort these children to court so they can testify and, you know, we empower them so they're not afraid to look their abuser in the eye and testify against them, on more than one occasion, the judges have said to the child, you know, are you still scared? And those kids can, you know, have said, I'm not scared anymore. And the judge is like, well, why? He's like, because my friends are scarier than my abuser. And that's how this works.
Right.
That's how it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, once again, if you're just joining us, my guest this morning from Bikers Against Child Abuse, BACA, we have Big D, the Public Relations Officer, Treasurer Bam Bam, and Sergeant in Arms Nail. So we talked there about the level one. Now, what happens next? What goes on beyond the level one intervention?
So if the child hasn't been to school or they've been frightened to leave the house, we will offer to escort that child to and from school for as long as it takes for that child to feel confident again and get back and forth to school the way they normally would. If there is a credible threat to the child, we will escalate our intervention to what's called a level two status. This means that we establish a presence at the child's home. We remain there for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, until the threat is gone. This shows the child our level of commitment to them, and it greatly helps improve any fear.
We just recently, Joe, had a neighboring chapter that needed our assistance because they had an important level two going on. It was in Staten Island. I don't want to tell you exactly the neighborhood it was in, but it was not a great neighborhood. What we do is basically for a level two is ideally we would have two people on each side of the house with radios, depending on geographically how the house is set up. In this particular case, we got away with just having three people to watch the house because of the way it was set up. Really, the right side of the house was just about inaccessible unless you had a ladder. The back of the house was all overgrown with foliage, and it was actually a homeless gentleman living there. On the left side of the house, it was also fenced in, and there was a van there with a family with children living in it. And the outside of the van actually looked like it was a scene from that TV series Hoarders. I mean, it was just a mess. There's no front yard. There's maybe 6 feet of sidewalk and then the street. No shoulder, and the road was there. Maybe a six-foot-wide stoop, and that's where the access would have been to the house, and that's what we protect. Now, everything we do at a level two, we also go along with our protocol. So one person is assigned the task of dialing 911. If something happens, if the perpetrator shows up, and that person has to have the phone in a very accessible spot, make sure they know where they are. I'm so-and-so from BACA. The cops already know we're there. We're at 123 Maple Avenue. We need assistance. They already know that there's an order of protection against the perp, and they know that they have to show up because we're going to try to prevent this guy from getting to the children. Another person is assigned the task of filming exactly what's going on. They take out their smartphone. They set it to video. Again, they make sure it's in an accessible pocket. If they drop it, remain calm. Just pick it up. Make sure you're on video and not photo, and you're filming everything that goes on. The day I was there on my shift, I was the obstacle. So I stood at the steps. And in my mind, what I would try to do is talk to the person reasonably. You already have an order of protection against you. You're not supposed to be here. You're breaking the law, number one. Number two, 911 has already been dialed. You're being videotaped. It's going to be up to you if you want this to be something that you're going to add on to your charges. If you put your hands on me, I'm going to have to protect myself. So if you want assault onto your other charges, that's going to be on you. And if I can't hold you back, I got a couple of other people that are going to join in to try to stop you from getting in there. And by the time the cops come, we're hoping that the situation resolved itself. But basically, that's what a level two is all about. In this particular situation, we were there for the better part of a week. Bam was actually at you did like a 10 to 2 in the morning, right?
We did a midnight to 4 a.m.
Midnight to 4.
We did a 2 to 6 in the morning.
I mean, this is, you know, this is our commitment. If it's during the week and we all work, if this is what it takes, we're going to show up and be there. Like I was going to say, this has a happy ending because we were there for the better part of a week and the police ended up apprehending this guy just blocks away from the house. So you know all the time we were there, he knew we were there, he knew what we were doing, and he chose to stay away. So that was a very successful level two for us, you know, and that's how that basically works.
Well, one of the things I'm really glad about on all this is I hear that you're working a lot in conjunction with the police, and it makes me want to know, is there other professional support that you get with everything that you're doing?
Nails, you want to address that as far as our clinical team?
We have a... each chapter has a clinical psychologist or a licensed mental health professional that we work with. That mental health professional is not only available free of charge for the children, but also for the membership as well, because some of the things that we see and we have to deal with, sometimes it's not easy to decompress from, and the mental health professional is there for us free of charge as well, to kind of help us kind of talk through some of the things that we deal with. So we do have that in place as well, you know, to help the children and the membership.
Okay. Now, obviously, all of this is fantastic stuff. The question is, how do we know, how are you able to find out that all your work is helping the children?
Although we are not professionals in the field, all of our members always get to see firsthand how what we do actually works, because we get to witness the progress of our children. But agencies and legal professionals will always say it would be wonderful to see quantitative proof for what BACA does to eliminate any doubt. So a few professionals in the field did a 4-year study involving 154 children ranging in age from 3 years old to 18 years old and from 16 states, New York being one of them. And the determination was that BACA children make a statistically significant improvements in all behavioral and emotional categories. Not fair or good or very good improvements, statistically significant improvements. So we now have professional proof that BACA not only works, but it works to a very high degree. This study was actually published last year by the Evaluation and Program Planning and can be found in its entirety on our website at www.bacaworld.org. We have many letters of testimony from prosecuting attorneys, parents, guardians, and agencies that we have worked with over the years. Seeing all of the success of the children is our paycheck. This is where indescribable gratification comes for in us. Seeing our children grow as they do, confident and fearless, and making their way in the world, this is what we live for. This is why we do what we do. As a matter of fact, since BACA has been around for 23 years, we have many members that were once BACA children. That's how much BACA meant to them when they were growing up. So they wear the BACA patch with extra conviction.
There you go. So once again, if somebody wants to reach out to you guys, what's the easiest way for them to get in touch with you?
Our website, www.bacaworld.org, or a helpline, which is 631-408-8218. And again, if you're driving and you're hearing this, just go to the website because it has a lot of different information there. What you can do actually is click on New York, because they have the chapters listed on the upper right-hand side. You click on chapters. You can click on New York. You'll find Long Island. We have 2 pages. Go to the second page. You can click on any one of our names, and it'll instantaneously go to our email. So since I'm public relations, it's Big D. I'm on the bottom of the page. I will get back to you within 24 hours from the time you click that name on the email. I'll get back to you within 24 hours, and you could have any kind of questions you want. Again, coming to the meetings, you know, it's like I said, it's our business of what we do, so it's not going to be too informative about what you can do to contribute or how you could help us. But if you do come to a meeting, you could get a couple of us on the site also. But in the meantime, if you do have questions, just go to the email and you could ask us anything.
There you go. So listen, we've quickly run out of time. So the one last question is, how would you like to close this interview?
Well, Joe, we have a couple of events. One's going to be the Pictures with Santa. It's going to be on December 15th. That's a Saturday between 11 and 3 at Oakdale Harley Davidson. You'll get your pictures taken with Santa, and we have a wonderful Santa this year. We're also going to be at the motorcycle show at the Javits Center, which is going to be Friday, November 30th to Sunday, December 2nd. The other thing I wanted to say while we're closing, Joe, is I want to address all the professionals out there. Anybody associated with abused children, whether you're a psychologist, a social worker, a clinical play therapist, even the guardians, you've just heard a small sample of what BACA does and how we do it. And you've also heard something we've known for years, and that's that BACA works. And BACA doesn't work just to a good degree or a very good degree. It is statistically significant improvements that these child are graded on for behavioral and emotional categories. So the only thing is, if you are dealing with these children and you could hear my voice, please do your kids a favor. Let them get in touch with us. Get us involved with your child, because every day they're not involved with us is a day they are missing out on something significant. And again, like I said, you want to go to the website and get us, go to the website. Another big thing, all of us cost zero. There is no cost to anyone. This is all volunteer work. So there's nothing anybody has to worry about as far as payment is concerned. And the last thing we want to do, Joe, is again thank you and the radio station for having us. This is very big for us. We're not public speakers. We're not professional politicians. But we're just volunteers trying to get the word out. And when a guy like you comes along, I know you're a big Long Island guy, and we really appreciate all the stuff you've always done. We really appreciate it. And all I could say is thanks a million.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Well, it's been my pleasure. I want to thank you all, my guests again this morning, from Bikers Against Child Abuse, Public Relations Officer Big D, Treasurer Bam Bam, and Sergeant at Arms Nails. Thank you very much for coming out this morning.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks a million. Really appreciate it.
Once again, you've been plugged into Long Island. This is Joe Rock for Long Island's only classic rock station, 102.3 WBAB, and Long Island's number one hit music station, 106.1 BLI.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.